You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week, our regular interview with Labor's Andrew Little is back. Tuva'a speaks to Little about the disposal of expired vaccines and National and ACT's comments on abolishing the Māori Health Authority. Here is that interview.
Earlier this week, Dr. Shane Reti of the National Party did a press release saying that $21 million worth of vaccines, including measles, meningococcal and shingles vaccines, had been wasted because they had been allowed to expire. What do you have to say about why this has occurred? Is there a reason that this happened?
Yeah, so there are 22 different vaccines for a number of different treatments, but a lot around MMR and shingles and others. And the reason was we had planned a big catch-up campaign in 2019 following the measles outbreak because we discovered, well, in fact, we didn't discover, it had actually been notified to the previous government in 2014 and 2017 that there was a cohort of New Zealanders who had missed out on the MMR vaccine. So they are people who are now aged anywhere between 17 years old and 32 years old. So we planned a big catch-up campaign. We ordered the vaccines to go with that. And we expect the rollout to start in 2020. Then, just as the rollout started, COVID came along and completely disrupted everything. We then picked it up again for 2021, but by that time we then had the COVID vaccine, and we made that a priority to roll that out. If we were going to protect everybody or as many people as possible, we needed to roll that as quickly as possible. And in the end, I got to the point in March where I had to say, well, I was offered a decision about whether we pause the other campaigns in order to get on with COVID. And I made that decision. The consequence of that is that vaccines that had been ordered expired. We knew that that was a risk or a possibility, but that was the price of making sure we got the COVID vaccination program well underway and to protect people. And we've had the benefit of that with, you know, the low fatality rate that we've had with COVID. But there is a cost associated with that because you order those vaccines. The nature of pharmaceuticals is you don't get the rights to return them. What you order is what you end up getting and paying for. The benefit of it is that, however, although the list price of those vaccines was about $21.7 million, we got some credits anyway, and so the total cost of those vaccines was about $11 million.
Dr. Shane Reti also reckons that the money used for those vaccines could have been put towards funding other health areas, such as a backlog of 50,000 mammograms, which he says could be cleared for $15 million. Is Dr. Reti right? Could the money have been spent on 50,000 mammograms instead of vaccines?
No, he's wrong, and he's not good with figures, unfortunately, Shane. And I think he lives in a world where he looks at everything in hindsight. The reality is, you know, when you're in positions like this, you make decisions in the real world based on the information you've got. So at the time that health officials and ministers were making a decision about a catch-up campaign that the previous government had ignored doing, no one knew of COVID. It wasn't even on the horizon. And no one therefore planned for it, but we planned for a massive catch-up campaign. That was completely disrupted and in the end derailed by COVID. And oddly, the reason why there is a backlog in screening, breast screening, is because of COVID, because that was disrupted too. So we have a program to catch up with all of that. I think what the National Party seems to struggle to understand is that worldwide pandemics, when they hit you, disrupt things, disrupt health services. And COVID has been enormously disruptive of our health services, and there's still a lot of catch-up to do, which we're in the process of doing. But it's a bit kind of rich to look with the benefit of hindsight to say, oh, we would have done it differently. Actually, I'm not sure that would have happened. They would have received the same advice and would have been faced with the same decisions, and in the end you make priorities. The priority was to protect as many of the New Zealand population against COVID as possible, as quickly as possible, and that's what we focused on.
As part of the scrapping of DHBs in the health system, the government is introducing a Māori Health Authority to help give Māori better access to health. Last week, both the ACT and the National parties announced that if they were elected, that they would scrap this new Māori Health Authority. How is the Māori Health Authority going to be run, and would scrapping it positively or negatively affect the health outcomes for Māori?
On the second question, unquestionably, it would not help Māori health outcomes. You know, that Māori health, you look at the statistics for Māori health, all the indicators, the one population group who suffer the worst are Māori. And we have a health system that's 140 years old. We simply have not got that equity equation right. And what we saw with the vaccination campaign, again, when we actually handed over leadership and resources to Māori and said, you know, because they were saying, look, we're just not getting the vaccinations, you're not reaching our people, you're not communicating with our people. And at their kind of request, we said, okay, here's some stuff, you go away and sort that out. They did it, did a fantastic job, provided the leadership, got the reach into communities that the rest of the health system itself had been unable to do. So there is a proven benefit when you give that leadership to Māori. Actually, you know, we have an obligation under the treaty to do that. We had that obligation 140 years ago, but we have that obligation to do that now. I think this is a government that is, you know, seriously trying to work out what fulfilling those treaty obligations looks like. The Māori Health Authority is part of it. In terms of you know, the Māori Health Authority and how it runs, it is running, I can tell you, in the entities that we've set up, the boards and the chief executives and stuff, the Māori Health Authority and Health NZ are working absolutely hand in glove. When I meet with Health NZ, I meet with the Māori Health Authority at the same time, whether it's the chief executives or the boards or the chairs of the boards or whatever. They are working very closely together because I think everybody realises that actually if both Health NZ and the Māori Health Authority are going to achieve what we need them to achieve and what they want to achieve, they actually have to work together in a highly collaborative way, and they are, and that's a really good start. And I think we're going to see great things as a consequence.
An open letter was sent to David Seymour and Christopher Luxon by many different health organisations, including Lung Foundation, Kidney Health, NZ Stroke Foundation, Breast Cancer Foundation, Gynecological Health Foundation, and the list keeps growing, about scrapping the Māori Health Authority not being in the best interests of Māori. And then in response to that letter, the ACT leader, David Seymour, said it was a shame to see organisations with such cause being hijacked by political activism. Is David Seymour right about these organisations being hijacked, or do you think he is confusing political activism with basic population health science?
Well, I mean, these are organisations who all have field staff and field officers who are in the community and who see health inequity every day. And I met with some of these organisations, particularly those organisations dealing with, it is all of them. All of them see health inequity every day. And I think for David Seymour to be so dismissive of that and to ignore their frontline experience is I think, wrong. And I think it's David who is out of touch in this respect.
And finally, is having a Māori health authority an unnecessary layer of bureaucracy that might get in the way?
No, not at all. What we have seen and what's been demonstrated, and actually heaps of reports and academic writing have said, we need a different style of leadership. We need, and we need to draw on mātauranga Māori when it comes to Māori health initiatives and Māori health services. And you don't do that in organisations that are dominated by sort of Pākehā and traditional thinking. And it's not to say that health services for Māori, you know, should not draw on Western science and knowledge. Of course it should do, but there's a way of delivering it and an approach to the whole body and the wairua that happens in Te Ao Māori that doesn't happen in traditional health services. So there is something to gain from that. I'm confident that the Māori Health Authority will establish itself very quickly. And I think I'm also confident that in terms of innovation in health, we will see the most innovation coming out of the Māori Health Authority, because if you look at Māori health services at the moment, they're the ones doing incredibly innovative stuff and achieving real results. And that's the sort of leadership that we need to see.
That was Tuva'a speaking to Andrew Little.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.